You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
you gonna do?
Do you really think that?
Do you think it all?
Yeah. Our government cares about
you. They ain't giving up a second thought about you, no. Ghetto people.
Who you gonna turn to next?
Tell me. You gotta take a look at yourself, yeah. Ghetto people.
Where do you wanna be?
Where you wanna be?
What your life is.
What's with your life?
Running like a red disease.
Running like a red disease. Ghetto people.
Stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, yeah. You gotta learn to love yourself.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity. Everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future, we all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say, Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening Ashe. To Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi, Hotep family. Hope everything was well for you today. Hope you're going to have a good day today, that you're going to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And hope the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But of course, if it is not, and it must be done, you'll get it done. But if don't need to get done and the weather is really bad, then of course you use your common sense. I know it. Because there's some bad weather. I tell you, man, global warming is real. It's sad. It is no joke. Yeah, I remember, and I mentioned this before, but I remember I'm at the firehouse, I'm at the table reading the newspaper and reading about climate change. Actually, it was global warming then. Now they called it climate change. It was global warming then. And in fact, that because they called it global warming and they thought that everything would just get hotter and there was some extreme cold days, extreme, you know, really, you know, Alberta Clippers, you know, coming down from Canada into the heart of the United States and even all the way down into Florida, that no, there's time. Can you talk about global warming? It's cold as hell. No, what it is extreme weather patterns, unpredictable weather patterns. And reading that article says, if we do not do these things, this weather will get increasingly worse. These patterns will be more magnified and intense. And that is what has happened. And that is what is going to continue to happen if those things aren't changed. And what was one of the main things? Carbon emissions, you know, factories and so forth, automobiles, burning fossil fuels. And it still hasn't happened. The oil industry is still a major issue and a major problem. So anyway, you're listening to African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcasts. Click on that. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. But of course, you can use your shortcut by going to whatever server you use to get online, you know, Google, whatever, and AOL, whatever, and go to put in the search babaoshi.net, babaoshi.net. And then once again, there will be programs that are dated and titled. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media on Mondays from 8 to 9, from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m., Black Therapy Central with Drs. Muia Kambon
and Kamal Cambon and their daughter, Nataki Cambon, Black Therapy Central. And then from 9 to 10, conversations, reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of Encobra. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. On Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report every Wednesday from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. this evening. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. On Saturdays, from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council from 7 to 9. And then once again on Sunday, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black. Get everything you need. The largest online marketplace for American African owned businesses is WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African owned businesses from WeBuyBlack.com. Brothers and sisters, products that are produced by us. And there are many. Check it out. WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans. Africa for the Africans. Brother Bomani Tayemba has been taking our people to the motherland on a trip of a lifetime for many years, since 06, over 500. And he has a number of tours scheduled. Yep. Upcoming in May 24th to June 5th, 2022 is Ghana for $3,800. November 17th to November 28th, 2022, Tanzania, $3,800. Ghana, December 24th to January 5th, 2023. $4,000, increase of $200. Then March 31st to April 10th, 2023, Senegal and Gambia. The reason why that's $3,800 is because that's the trip that was postponed. And it is a year later, March 31st to April 10th, 2023. Liberia Reconnection Investment, Liberia, July 20th through the 30th, $3,800. South African, December 24th to January 4th, 2024. December 24th to January 4th, 2024, $4,000. South African, of course, you go to the website and learn more about the land sale, the investment in the Black Star Repatriation Program, and the Pan-African community in Ghana, and much more. Everything is on the website. Brothers and sisters, if you want to see pictures of previous tours, go to facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see video of previous tours, go to youtube.com/Bomani2007. Africa for the Africans, or give Brother Bomani Tayemba a call at 404-931-9429. That's 404-931-9429. Africa for the Africans. Habashah Incorporated. Habashah, helping Africa by establishing schools at home and abroad. The programs as Habashah Works, Black to Our Roots, Sustainable Seeds, Urban Green Jobs and the Golden Growers, the Kashi Project, which is there's going to be a formal launch October 8th through the 17th in Ghana, West Africa this year, the Kashi Project, and you can donate to it. It is tax deductible. Go to HabashahIncorporated.org. HabashahIncorporated.org. The Ledge Program, Land for the Environmental Development for Group Economics, the Ledge Program, brothers and sisters. The Ledge Program deals in the areas of the four areas of human existence, which is food, water, clothing, and shelter. Providing great projects, 12 projects, 6 countries, 170 employed, and over 260 members. Become a member of the Ledge Group. Ledge for the Land for the Environmental Development for Group Economics. Okay. Abibiatumi. A-B-I-B-I-T-U-M-I. Abibiatumi.com. brothers and sisters. Go to abibiatumi.com. Sign up, become a member, make it one of your favorites, abibiatumi.com. In fact, Abibiatumi is dedicated to the complete and total liberation of African people throughout the African world from under the domination by Eurasians and their anti-African, anti-African collaborators. As such, Abibiatumi seeks to reclaim and recreate systems and tools designed by African people for the benefit of African people in the interest and complete and total liberation and self-preservation and self-determination and survival and sovereignty in each and every area of human activity. Abibiatumi is about continuing the work of our ancestors, of re-Africanizing. Abibiatumi is about African liberation. African liberation is about the freedom to learn, to be who we are, and reestablishing our culture and our ancestors, and freedom from being who we are not, as inculcated by our oppressors. As Africans, we have a commitment to the survival, advancement, and maximization, fulfillment, and fullest manifestation of African potentiality of the African world. We are committed to create and maintain the space that will permit us to develop the necessary skills, motivation, and drive to create the necessary focus, individual and collective, to reconstruct the African personality and the African world toward an African thrust, an African culture that is genuinely ours. Abibiatumi, ABIBIATUMI.com. SMAI, SMAI Pharmacy, SMAI. FAR, SMI Pharmacy. FARMACY. I apologize, family. Just, I don't know what to do about these damn these nuisance ass scam calls. I just should just turn off my phone. You know, this is crazy. SMI Pharmacy. SMAIFARMACEY. Brothers and sisters, contact Brother Jabril. Give him a call at 731-327-6229. That's 731-327-6229. Or give him an email. Drop him an email at smipharmacy@gmail.com. That's SMAIFARMACY at smipharmacy@gmail.com. And he can put a program together for you from a health standpoint. I'll have you feeling good, getting you off the prescription medications, providing you with good health and nutrition. SMI Pharmacy. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located in the West End here in Atlanta. I'm Ralph David Abernathy, right across the street from Soul Veg, up the street from the Shrine of the Black Madonna. And hopefully they'll be opening soon as things start to come back to some semblance of normalcy, but there'll never be that. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, Mama Nia, is doing well. Give her a call at 404-346-3263. 404-346-3263. She has a fine selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, figurines, T-shirts, all kind of good stuff for you at the Medum Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. The Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia with my good brother Kazimdi Ajamu. Give him a call at 404-519-8107. And they have coffee bar there selling delicious Cameroon boyo and other African coffees and teas, bean pies. Oh man, he's got it together. Yep, Brother Kazimdi Ajamu of the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore. Afroletics. Afroletics has a store in the new Black Wall Street Market, located right off the highway of I-20 going east of Atlanta, in the city of Stonecrest. They have an old, not an old, they have a abandoned, let me put it that way, Target store, that they've really laid it out. It's dynamic. And they have these stores in there, and it's all modeled after Black Wall Street in Tulsa, Oklahoma, with Greenwood Street and, you know, all kinds of good stuff like that. So check it out, the new Black Wall Street Market. You can go online and check it out. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for Our People in the Spirit of Ujamaa. Tomorrow they have their Thursday night broadcast, every Thursday night at 9 p.m. blogtalkradio.com. Go to blogtalkradio.com/ULU. Us Lifting Us, the Thursday night broadcast. You can call to listen or give your questions, comments, or concerns by dialing 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Us Lifting Us. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop, located in Macon, Georgia. My good brother, Abija Chenga. And you can give him a call. He's located at 2910 Napier Avenue in Macon, Georgia. I mean, his establishment has everything that you need. Even have a vegan restaurant, you know. 478-256-1166. That's 478-256-1166. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop. Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop, located 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia. Inside the International Discount Mall, booth 225. For more information, contact my good sister Shelly Amonset at 404-434-7963. That's 404-434-7963. Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop. Sanjay-Haiti, Sister Gabrielle Rios, is doing great work in the northeastern part of the island of Haiti, up in the mountains and the hills. And great work with these young people that she's dealing with. In fact, when you go online, you look at four areas that they're dealing with: education, healthcare, sustainable agriculture, and entrepreneurship. Brothers and sisters, go to Sanjay, Sonjay-Haiti, Haiti.org. Sanjay-Haiti.org. Akabin House. No, that's the bookstore. Akabin Institute. That's what we were talking about. Akabin Institute. Akabin Institute. Brothers and sisters, Baba Broody and Mama Annie are doing outstanding work and deserve to be supported, and you know it. So make your donation. Make a check of money order out to Akabin Institute. Send it to P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia 30310. Or you can use PayPal, yabaruti@yahoo.com, or Cash App, $YAA, the letter M, then Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I. And you make your donation. Make it one time or monthly, whatever how you can do it. Whatever how you can make it, it's all greatly appreciated and needed and necessary. All right. Also, too, Akabin House is where you get the books that Baba Rudy publishes. Akabin House. I'm going to be reading from the Identity book that they have. And right now I'm going to read from the Enye Sesim. The Enye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. I'm going to read three today. March 29th. As professionals, we can and must choose to devote our skills and knowledge to African self-determination and total liberation, as Merelda Simmons. On this duty and responsibility, there is absolutely no question. This is what our lives should be fully centered around. However, we must live a good, healthy life in order to effectively do this work for the longest possible duration, because the longer, the more effective one's life is, the greater the positive impact on our collective nation building. We must live so that we can do the work and stand as examples of how it is done. Sadly, one of the most healthy habits seasoned warriors forget to do is to delegate authority and responsibility to members of the warrior class. I know of an elder who could not do this for fear that either the work would not get done or would not get done correctly. He reserved most of his activities required to motivate, organize, and create within his community for himself. Over time, he wore his mind, body, and spirit down. He ended up with years of extended hospital stays and protracted recovery periods in between. His wife, who had repeatedly warned him about not delegating some of his work to these young warriors, was constantly worried over his life. But it was not until his last recovery period that he realized that the work he felt could not be done without him doing it was being done and being done well. He learned that it was not that the warriors could not do it and do it well. They just had not attempted it because he had not given them the opportunity to do so. He learned through this, watching them easily step in and do what he could, He learned that this could, by watching and then easily step in and do what he could no longer do. Warriors and elders alike should take heed of the lessons he left us. Affirm, I use my skills in service to our people. Affirm, I use my skills in service to our, to my people, I say. March 29th. Rather than continually struggling to make European-centered value systems more humane, we have to replace these value systems with one that is African-centered. Everything that we do within this society must be changed to an African-centered or an African-centered culture. I'm going to talk about that later. Rather than continually to struggle to make European-centered value systems more humane, we have to replace these systems with one that is African-centered. Jedi Shemshu Jehudi, Baba Jake Carruthers, Dr. Jake Carruthers. Europeans altered the cardinal directions, north, south, east, and west, to fit their political objectives of global mental domination. They have changed south to north and north to south. What was once up is now down, and what was down is now up, turning the world upside down to fit their small, inverted, egotistical minds. They knew full well that they were changing Africa's truth into European lies. They knew whose memory they had to destroy in order to take credit for the light. The effect that they put into geographically inverting the planet speaks for itself. Europeans only sold what they could understand and reasonably incorporated into the designs of European culture. So we are left to wonder just what maps and scientific manuscripts were destroyed as they pillaged and burned our ancestors' libraries. Affirm, I know my cardinal directions. Affirm, I know my cardinal directions. That's why the brothers and sisters from Kemet chose south. They turned the faces of their corpses, their faces of their corpses south. They came from the south. They didn't even want to deal with the north because that wasn't nothing happening up there but cold weather and evil people. March 30th. We got to be prepared to lose. You've got to be prepared to lose your life in order to gain your life. Let me repeat. You've got to be prepared to lose your life in order to regain your life. Queen Mother Moore. Move away from the male-only warrior designation. It may work wonders for weakened, bruised egos, but the singular role of males as warriors is un-African and ahistorical. Lest we forget Queen Nzinga, Queen Judith of the Fausas, Nefertari. I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to turn this damn phone off. That's what I'm going to do. Brothers and sisters, I think that's the wise thing for me, for Brother Oshi to do. You know? Because this is going to be a problem. And I've tried to, figure out a way to do this. You know? Yeah. phone is acting crazy.
I tell you.
Can't seem to even turn the damn thing off. I'm being punished, family. I'm being punished. Okay. Damn it. African women on the continent throughout the diaspora remain part and parcel of the African fighting tradition. I dare you to dismiss Assata Shakur, Winnie Mandela, Ida B. Wells, Harriet Tubman, Fannie Lou Hamer, Sojourner Truth, Amy Jacques Garvey, or Queen Mother Moore. Sisters remain a clear and present threat to European manhood, womanhood, and ultimately the survival, a clear and present danger to European manhood, womanhood, and ultimately the survival of their nation. Why do you think that now, after 133 years of incarcerating free African men, they are free thereafter? African women, between 1985 and 95, 10-year period, the incarceration rate for African men increased 130%, but jumped to 200% for African women. We apparently missed the point of genocide. Europeans fear the power of African women as they fear the power of African men. Affirm, I honor all of our warriors. Affirm, I honor all of our warriors. The Inye Sesim of daily revolutionary thought. Yeah, the Inye Sesim of daily revolutionary thought. I'm going to talk today. There's a few things we can talk about today. One, of course, being what everybody's been talking about, the slap of Will Smith to Chris Rock, you know. So we can talk about that. We also can talk about Ketanji Brown Jackson. There was a case that came before her from Lockheed Martin with some brothers and sisters in a class action case that she kind of threw out for reasons that I guess for her, you know. So we can talk about that. So the number of things that we could talk about. Also, I'd like to talk about identity, because that's a problem for us, you know? And that's why I feel Baba Baruti's book is on point. Identity. What is the African identity? You know? So these are some of the things that we can discuss today. Or whatever you wanted to discuss, of course, just dial 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Let's talk right now about Will Smith and Chris Rock. Personally, I didn't see it happen. I was informed about it. Sister sent me a link, and so as I first seen it, and I thought to myself, wow, this is, you know, but then it's a stage, but then when he went back to his seat, you know, and there was no filter on what she sent me, that was straight up, you know, keep my wife's name out of your, and then said it again, and Chris Rock said, oh, I will, you know, honestly, I don't think Chris Rock, when he said something in 2016, when Will Smith was not nominated, therefore didn't go to the Oscars or Academy Awards, and she wasn't invited. That's what Chris Rock said. Y'all weren't invited, you know. So I mean, I don't know, and why she would still hold something like that. After that time, you know, I don't know. It doesn't make sense. And I don't know. Let me know what you think. Give us a call at 215-490-9832. I'm quite sure if you have Facebook or some other, you know, emails that you people have sent their perspectives. You know, some have cheered Will on for defending his wife's honor, you know, being attacked by a comedian, which is what they do. Some have condemned him to serious hell because he just brought bad image of us globally. You know, here the Academy Awards are broadcasted globally, you know, and here he had disrespected the Academy, all these people, himself, his wife, Chris Rock, you know, brought condemnation on all of that, you know, and reestablish or continue to perpetuate the image of us as violent, prone, and out of pocket, and so forth, you know. So I was just gathering the information about how I feel about this. I mean, because honestly, how do I really feel about this? I don't give a damn about the Academy Awards. And I mean, that Will Packard was the producer and director of the Academy Awards for the first time. And I must say that was cool, whatever, if you want to, you know. Many of the, because it's about, what, a few years ago. In fact, that's, you know, Oscars So White was a tagline. There were nobody of African descent being nominated for nothing. You know, we wasn't even doing nothing. I'm going to tell you what I did like. I like Beyonce in Compton in the performance there. I did like that. I didn't, like I said, see it. I saw it later when they said there was some things that, five things that were very prevalent, you know, in Academy Awards. And that was one of them. And I said, yeah, that's great. That was beautiful. That was beautiful, you know. And of course, you know, one could argue that the atmosphere was changed by what Will Smith did, even though 40-something minutes later or 45 whatever minutes later, he was awarded the Academy Award for his portrayal of Richard Williams and the great work he did with his daughters. Phenomenal. Phenomenal. You know, I'm not sure, I'm quite sure his other children, because of the amount of wealth that Venus and Serena have accumulated, have benefited his other children in some way. In some way, I don't think they would leave them hanging like that. I don't think Richard Williams would leave them hanging like that. I remember when one of the sisters died and they all came together to give her up. You know, when she passed, we made her transition. I think she was murdered, I believe. Something like that. I'm not sure. Don't remember. It was quite a while ago, a few years ago. You know, and but you know, they have dominated the tennis world. They have dominated it. Although I don't think that Serena will win another championship. I wish she would. I hope she would. 646-646, good afternoon or good morning still.
Hey Oshie, what's happening?
How you doing, Jay?
I see you you talking about that Will Smith, Chris Rock, madness.
Yeah.
You know, man, I had a friend, like, I'd say 45 years ago, got into the same type of situation with that, with that Chris Rock, Will Smith thing.
Okay.
And when it was all said and done, man, he got a manslaughter charge against him.
Okay.
And you wind up doing 8 years for it, man, and it absolutely
destroyed
his life.
He assaulted somebody, and it went to trial. He was convicted and got 8 years?
Yeah, man, got eight.
Who in the hell did he assault?
No, he got into what had happened. What had happened was the guy said something to his girlfriend. You know, we was around 17, 18 years old.
Okay.
And, you know, it led to a fight. And, you know, he killed the guy.
Oh, he killed him.
And what happened was.
Okay, I see.
What happened was, you know, he was convicted. They didn't convict him for second-degree murder or first-degree. They convict him for manslaughter, which he was lucky. And the crazy thing was, man, he did eight years. And you know, a month later, man, I saw the chick with another dude, man. And from that point on, I've always been the type of cat. I would never, ever get into a fight over a woman unless you put your hands on her. Now, if you say something to her, I'll say, yo, man, chill. Yeah. Chill with that. But I would never get to the point to where as I would lose control.
Right.
And get into the type of physical altercation that's going to either lead to me hurting somebody or somebody hurting me over the woman. And, you know, it's funny because when you say that, there are some women on Facebook that really get offended.
Yeah.
About how you're not protecting my honor and this and that. Man. And I'm like, yo, you're the same type of chick that if I defend your honor and I go to jail, you'll have another on your face and in your mouth a week or two later. So, save me with that nonsense. You know what I mean? I mean, let's keep it 100. Because I done seen it happen multiple times, Ochi, to where as brothers done lost control over an incident between a man and a woman or, you know, vice versa or whatever. And now here it is. Your whole life is destroyed for what? Now, was Chris Rock right for making the joke that he made?
Yeah.
It's a joke.
Yes.
And I ain't
He's a comedian. He's a comedian.
But Will Smith is a sucker. To me, Will Smith is a joke because, first of all, he's bigger than Chris. Second of all, he knew that there was nothing that Chris could really do to him.
Right.
And that.
It was a joke.
I heard a funny thing today, right? You remember when Marlon Brando won the Oscar in 1973?
And he rejected
for
it.
The Godfather.
Right.
And he had the Native American woman come in and accept his speech.
Right.
I didn't know until yesterday that John Wayne lost his mind and wanted to go on stage and pull the woman off the stage, and that six people had to grab him to stop him.
Didn't know that either, but that's John Wayne.
I didn't know that. I was
with
like,
his racist ass.
But that's not surprising.
Yeah.
With John Wayne.
Yeah.
Because
John Wayne is overt racist.
Woods who would do something like that.
Yeah.
But then you know the crazy thing is, Will Smith would never do that to a Yoruba.
Yeah,
he would only do that.
Well, that's what everybody's saying. Everybody's
just like the black man ain't never gonna go out there and hurt no white man harm no white man, but he'll harm me and you in the quickness.
Right, and that's part of your training. Everybody says that if you know if any other comedian, Caucasian comedian, would have said that, would Will Smith have got up and done the same thing? You know.
Matter of fact, Jada wouldn't have laughed at it.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, the white man, a.k.a. so-called praising her.
Yeah.
But when the black man do it, he's so-called attacking you. I mean, it's just the psychology and the remote controlness that white folks have us.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Exactly. That's all it is.
And the fact is,
let me leave you with this, Hope. If Prince was really a nasty type dude, he could sue Will and get maybe $5, $10, $20 million for that.
Mm-hmm.
If he was a real nasty dude, he could just sue him, or he could have him arrested and get him placed on probation, spend a whole bunch of money on lawyers and all that if he was a nasty dude, and then have him pay him off for like $5 or $10 million. Even though the insurance company would pay it, which most people don't know, mm-hmm. is that when you rich like that, your homeowner insurance pays off that type of suit. You know what I mean? That's why I don't think people ever really knew that Bill Cosby ain't never paid those people any money and got mad at AIG when AIG paid them off. Because it's home insurance. His insurance covered it. But nobody tells you those type of things.
Yeah.
It's just like when you have money and you know that you're getting ready to go meet the Sky Daddy or whatever, you don't will stuff to your kids. You put it in the trust.
Mm-hmm, right.
But people don't teach black people these type of things. You know
well,
what
a
I
lot
mean?
Of times it's, we don't have that kind of discretionary income, that kind of money.
Hey,
you know, so, shit. Hey, a lot of us, body. A lot of us, hold on, Jay. A lot of us got to go through, putting up a GoFundMe account, particularly if one of us dies unexpectedly, let alone for those who, because I know some people who have worked for many, many years and they don't have a severance. They don't have a pension. They don't have, the best they got is some Social Security. Okay.
Mom put me in Potter's Field. I ain't caught up in that burial nonsense. But the thing is, you know, a person that got some money, I'll use an example. Let's say Baba Baruti, school. You could set up a trust fund to fund Baba Baruti school to perpetuity.
Right. Right.
You know what I mean? I mean,
right.
and you know, there's things that other people... The rich folks take advantage, and if you notice, when they did the changing of the tax laws, they strengthened that part of the tax laws, the trust fund situation. You know what I mean? And you know, I mean, I didn't know it. I didn't know really nothing about it until my accountant was telling me about it. He was saying, "Man, you get ready to do something, blah blah blah." You know what I mean? Man, don't be giving them Negroes your money, man. Put it in a trust for them. I was like, really? So, I've been doing what I got to do. But the thing is, you know, unfortunately, we're not educating our people, man. Mm-hmm. We are caught up in minutia instead of being caught up in the things for our survival and our sovereignty. You know what
well,
I mean?
And
it's really sad. It's like, you know, who the hell care about Chris Rock and Will Smith and this madness? I mean, you know, if you really want to smack somebody, smack your white person. Then let's see what happens.
Yeah. Then see what happens. You know, I'm just ambivalent about this whole Chris Rock, Will Smith thing. Anyways, I could give less than a rat's ass. In fact, as my ex said, I've been giving less than a rat's ass for quite some time, so I'm running out of rat's ass. So I need to save some rat's ass so I can.
I just see where people expose themselves and where people put expectations. And it's like I told a sister on Facebook the other day. You would really respect me or expect me to uplift your honor and kill somebody or get myself killed because he said that you bald-headed. You know, that's what you conveying. You know what I mean? And if that don't sound crazy to you, then I don't know what to tell you. Because if you ever position yourself to me in that way, I would leave you. I don't care what you get, because you're never going to be worth me dying or going to jail for. It just That's my reality. I'm okay. not going to do it because I've seen it growing up, man. And yeah. I mean, my boy was about to go off to college. He came from a good family and all that, man. He came back out of jail 8 years later, a broken dude, man.
Sure, sure.
Just a broken dude.
Because now what is his future, you know?
Yeah,
unless only his
matter
future.
Fact,
hold on, Jay. Hold on, Jay.
Like 2 years ago, and he's still broken.
And because
you know what I mean?
Right.
He got a job,
Jay.
You know, he got a decent job, but he's broken.
The only way that they can regain, if there is some benefactor, some individual, or some program, or something tangible that they can get into to rebuild their lives after they've been broken. Otherwise, this society's not going to do it. This environment's not going to do it. This European culture is not going to do it. See, so if he had somebody when even before he went in, then when he got out, this person had him set up. You know what I just thought about came to mind?
Could,
it's just like the Mac.
It's just, he was broken in jail.
Yeah,
they
of course.
They couldn't do anything. I mean, you know, even though he's out now, he's functioning.
Yeah.
But you can look at him and tell he ain't the person that he was.
Or the person that he could have been.
I mean,
Or the person that he could have been. Let me take this call.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot, Jay. All right. Just hang on, bro. Thank you. 267-267, good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, Brother Oshie.
Hey, Brother Ralph. How you doing, man? How are you, brother?
All right, man. Good. All right. You know, the one place I thought I could escape Will Smith and Chris Rock was on Time for Awakening, but they infiltrated this. You know, and let me tell you my opinion of it. I don't know if it's fact, but I'm going to give you my opinion of the whole thing. That shit was staged. That shit was staged.
Brother Ralph, I'm inclined.
Because let me tell you something. Let me tell you why. How many times you heard black folks talking about the effing Oscars 3 or 4 damn days later? It was in trouble. Nobody was watching it. It added Regina Hall and this other lesbian to be there. Mm-hmm. Chris Rock and Will Smith have been friends for years.
Right.
Chris Rock's ticket sales are soaring through the roof.
Right.
And all you see is Negroes posting all this crap on Facebook about the damn Oscars. Man, it's outright ridiculous the way they play us, brother. You know what? And it don't surprise me because we go where the wind blows, and it's fucking insulting.
Yeah.
It pisses me the fuck off because if we had any fucking sense, we wouldn't even care about that bullshit because they're both Hollywood actors.
Exactly.
So, you know, I'm just...
Brother Ralph, a key word, actors. They're actors. They know how to throw a punch and to take a punch, to make it look real, just like on when they have these fights. And so to me, in a natural sense, if you walked up on me and swung, I'm fading. I'm leaning back. I'm ducking. I'm moving out the way. And then I'm throwing.
Right.
That's a natural instinct. You're not going to bitch slap me. You're not going to walk up on me, Ralph, and bitch slap me, and I'm stunned.
No. Well, you shows me you're a bitch if you walk up to me and bitch slap me because you got some other things coming after that. So, you know, man, what a sham.
Yeah.
And I'm just so disappointed at our people, man.
Yeah.
I am so damn pissed off. Because I went to Facebook that morning just to see, you know, and, man, all I saw was Oscar shit. I said, what the hell happened?
Yeah.
And there it is.
Yeah.
There it is. They set us up.
I'm watching Ball, and a sister sent me the information.
Hey, Ralph, you not going to see Chris Rock?
Fuck no.
You didn't buy your tickets?
Hey, no, you can't. This is sold out, man. It's selling hotcakes, man.
No. My wife had actually looked at his tickets like about 2 months ago because he was coming to the Borgata. She actually was looking at his tickets about 2 months ago, and she said, they lying on the news talking about they done went from $46. They were $400 back then.
So, you know, we are being set up by that lying ass devil, and we can't even see to it, man. You know, and it just hurts me because our people just, you know, there's a scripture. They got eyes and they can't see. They got ears and they can't hear. Paul, yeah. And I tell you, that is so damn true. Because
well, you know,
these
I'm
people are nothing but filthy, nasty-ass Hollywood actors. And if Will Smith had some real balls about him, he would have bitch-slapped that man that slept with his wife.
Yep.
So fuck him. You know what I mean? Excuse my vulgarity.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate
him.
That, Alf. Okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay,
so
Ralph.
I'm going to hang up. I'll finish listening, man.
Ralph,
but I had
right.
to vent.
I'm all right, brother.
Hey, Ralph, a real man would handle the man that sleep with his wife even if the wife asked him to come into the bed, because that's what she did.
Well, definitely. From what I was told about it, the young man was going through some problems in his family and so forth. And the first thing I thought about was Marvin Gaye, sexual healing. You know, she was consulting him. But let me catch his other call, brother Jay. Okay. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Greetings.
Greetings.
Doing
my
your program. How are you doing today?
I'm Sister Abia. How are you today?
Yeah,
I'm well.
So, to me, I feel that this is just a whole lot of, you know, I feel like it's a whole lot of drama and all this is unnecessary because to me, I mean, and I don't think we should all fall in the trap of just talking about it because it was minor. I'm tired of hearing about Chris Rock and the brother.
Mm-hmm.
And so.
Yeah, it's diversionary.
You know, and my thing about it, too, is, you know, I don't know if that was a slap or it looked like a punch to me, but I don't know. But I feel that I see a point is, I mean, some people are saying Chris Rock was whatever, he's the victim. But I'm just saying, I think it is a problem to attack someone's wife because they got a medical condition, alopecia. You know, and that can be a hurtful thing. And I don't think we should mock people that have disabilities or medical problems.
Well,
then the brother didn't get hurt. People act, because the way all this hysteria is as if Will Smith had went and shot him. Or had hurt him. The man was just still standing up there talking. So, you know, it seemed like it wasn't no terrorist attack or anything like that. So I feel that's my position about it. I feel
okay. All right, sister. All right. Continue to listen.
Yeah. So, I mean, so he didn't get hurt. Why is all this drama? He didn't. Chris Rock didn't get hurt.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, the man did insult his wife. So.
Well, what all the drama is a lot of hurt feelings by a lot of people, some who are adamantly against Will Smith for doing what he did, some who are with
him. He didn't hurt the man. The man stood up there talking. He didn't fall down. He didn't get shot. He didn't get hurt. He kept talking.
Some who are with Will Smith for defending his wife's honor, for her being insulted, you know, and so forth, because based upon, and I said, well, what has happened in the past? Well, that incident that happened in the past at the Academy Awards or the Oscars in 2016, I think it was, mm-hmm. when Will Smith was not nominated for something he felt that he did great work in and should have been mm-hmm. nominated for, and he wasn't. So he declined not to go, and, of course, she didn't go, you know. And
so what about that?
So, I mean, so he...
That Chris, had something to do with it.
Right, Chris. Well, Chris Rock was hosting at that time. And he was saying you wasn't invited, you know, you know, when you were nominated, he wasn't invited. So this is to me very trivial, but of course,
that's what I'm saying.
But see, the deal is this.
We could be talking about something important.
No doubt. But listen, sister, something very important here is that it was broadcast globally. So literally mm-hmm. millions of people saw this. And so why?
Okay, didn't see much, but go ahead.
So why would this behavior by us at that time be exhibited when all the other things that were happening for us, so to speak, even Chris Rock was announcing the Academy Award for a documentary, mm-hmm. which The Summer of Soul, Brother Crest Love won for that documentary, you know?
And yes, so I think that was what we should be focusing on.
Yeah.
Because that I'm telling you, if he had went up and killed him or something, it should be all this talk about this. It was nothing, you know, and I think, and sometimes, you know, black men, they will stand up for their wives and their women and
well, they,
et cetera, they get
well, they
insulted
should.
Like that.
Well, they should, but
and so,
to me,
I mean,
not
it's
for
like,
something
it's,
trivial.
I think it's like people punking out that you can't try to protect your wife. Or,
well, no, Sister Amia, something trivial, no. That was trivial as hell. He's a comedian.
But I don't think
he's
it's
a comedian.
Huh?
He's a Chris Rock is a comedian. So is Will Smith. They're actors.
But
they're all
attack,
actors
you should
comedians.
Have limits, though. Do you think you should attack people that have, like, mock them if they have a disability? Or that alopecia, that can be a very serious medical problem.
No,
psychological
alopecia,
problem.
Psychologically, yes,
be
because
mocked.
You're losing your hair. And one of the main things for a woman particularly is her hair. I understand that.
Right.
And,
so
and,
you're attacking. I don't think you should attack those kind of – they have lines. Like, say, if they had a white thing, say, you can't make a joke about a homosexual. Chris Rock would not make a joke about a homosexual.
No, because
like,
of the influence.
There's barriers and things.
Because, because of the influence homosexuals have on society, and particularly
right.
in the arts. Particularly in the arts, in theater, in movies, and so forth. In fact, mm-hmm. that brought light to me some 20-some years ago, whatever. I was channel surfing, and I came upon the Tony Awards, the mm-hmm. Tony or the Emmys. One of them for stage, and all these gay men, and they would get up on stage kissing each other and so forth. I was like, damn, what the hell is this? You know, because of the influence that they have, the monetary influence that they have. So, no, he wouldn't have done that, you know. But,
yeah, and handicapped people.
But
you know
Chris
Donald
Rock
used to mock all these people.
Chris Rock even had a documentary on hair. I don't know if you've ever seen that. It's really excellent. Oh, yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. it's excellent. Excellent, because of the issue of hair as it relates to us, you know.
So he knows it's serious. What do you, I mean, so
it's a joke, baby. Sister, it's a joke. He's a comedian. And all he said was, I can't wait to see you in G.I. Jane 2. G.I. Jane 1 was when Demi Moore shaved her head. To,
right.
You know.
So, yes.
So,
it's an insensitive remark, though. I still think you're taking a stab at somebody that has mm-hmm. a medical problem. And I think that's crossing the line. I think you should not mock people with disabilities and medical issues. It's not funny to me.
Okay.
And, you know, and it could be highly offensive. So.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, we need to talk about something. Yeah, I mean, this is just, it's raging.
We will. I'm going to take
a break. The airways, like, it's so big deal. And
yeah.
Nothing happened to the man. He's standing up there. He didn't get hurt.
I think it's staged, honestly. And
it could have been staged. You're right about that.
As I further look at it. Because I'm going to tell you something, sister. If you come up on stage and you're coming at me, and I don't know what you're going to do. My guard that's a natural survival instinct for my guard to be up. And when you swing, I ain't just ain't going to take a punch or a slap or none of that. I'm ducking, I'm dodging, I'm fading, and I'm firing back.
And it probably wasn't no hard nothing because you see he just stood up there.
No
powerful punch. It was nothing.
Sister Abia, what are they? What are they? What is Chris Rock? And Will Smith, they're what? Actors. They mm-hmm. are trained to throw punches to make it look like they hit somebody hard.
So maybe that's all it was. That's why everybody up in arms for nothing, really.
Yeah, I hear you. All right, dear sister.
Okay.
Right, peace.
Peace and
all right. 469-469, good afternoon.
Hey, Brother Oshie.
Hey,
I
thought about you, man. How you been? What's been happening,
man,
with you?
Man, I'm doing great.
Good.
But I think that we need to leave this Chris Rock thing alone.
Okay.
And move on. I mean, we can talk about things like Eritrea and Ethiopia and
no doubt.
What's happening with the Haitians
no
and so forth.
Yeah.
And what they're doing in Ukraine. Well, that's what we need to be focusing our
Brother,
attention.
You know, I agree.
Like my father and older people used to say, don't give a fool a stage. You know, that that stuff is, I don't even talk. People told me about it. I didn't even look at it. I saw it because I couldn't get away from it.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
nah, we've got other things. So what's happening in Atlanta with the Black Wall Street market down there? I hear you. Talking about it all
well,
the time.
Well, let me just say this about it, you know, Brother Prince, because, Kev, I wish Mr. Allen and his group would have got all the money that was needed to complete the project, because it's half done. There's many stores that are vacant. There's many areas that are still vacant. It's, it already had, back in February, it had a grand opening. They had two soft openings prior, you know, and there's still stuff that needs to be, and there's no work being done, at least at times. I've been back and forth to the new Black Wall Street market about five times, a couple times during the week, which is not good at all because many of the stores not even open, you know, and then on the weekend, which is, you know, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, which is they get most of their crowd, you know. And some are happy with the situation so far, you know. Obviously, some are not, you know. So it still needs a lot to be done. But if they had, say, we're going to complete this project, the supermarket's going to be open, Mama's Big Porch restaurant's going to be open, the nightclub's going to be open, the store areas that we have, all these signs that say coming soon will all be open and filled. To me, it's you can market a lot better, and although you know I did see some cars from out of town, which is great, you know, when I went there this past Saturday, you know, so I tell you, man,
I understand. You know, we still have that mindset to where, I mean, you have to make it a priority to support your people and give. And not only that, Ochi, our people who have the money, they have to make a priority to give and not look for a profit.
Right.
If, you know, just like if you invest in the stock market or whatever, there's no guarantee that you're going to make money on that.
No, and we have to, damn sure. It's a gamble, you know.
Yeah.
I think we won't
gamble on ourselves.
Right. I agree with you, Brother Kev. The investment by those brothers and sisters who have the millions of dollars or even some billionaires into the new Black Wall Street market would have been a sound investment if they would have done it right. And I fear, because I've seen projects, and I believe you may have too, seen projects that were started by us, it was all about us, and we didn't support it, and those things went away. We didn't support them to the point where they could be sustaining over a good period of time and become institutional, you know.
Right.
They
exactly.
Because, I mean, there was a project in Milwaukee that started back in the late 60s, early 70s, you know. And even before the late 70s, when I came on the fire department, that whole project was over. Even the damn liquor store failed.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That must have really been.
Yeah.
Hey, let me ask you.
Go ahead.
They just opened up a women's business center, the Greenwood Women's Business Center here a couple of weeks ago. The turnout was very good. The only problem that I have with it is, you know, when they see these women and all of that, it's not specifically black women. You know, I'm always of the opinion of that if it's not, if it doesn't have black on it, then you're setting yourself up for failure, because other folk will come in there and basically take over, and you'll still end up at the bottom.
Yeah.
So, hey, one last question, and I'm going to get off the phone. I noticed that you talk sometimes about Mike McGee Jr.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Is that the brother who used to be on the council in Milwaukee?
Yes. Mm-hmm. His father was first, and then he was. Yes.
Okay, okay. Because I remember him listening to him. He used to come on this station in Dallas, this commissioner, a brother by the name of John Wiley Price.
Okay.
Mike McGee used to come on his show from time to time. So I just wondered, was he
yes.
the mm-hmm. same? Okay.
Same brother.
All right, well, look, I won't get off the phone. All right, brother. And let some other folk get in. All right. You take care now. We'll be talking.
Thank you, my brother. Peace to you, Kev. Brothers and sisters, we're going to take a break. When we come back from the break, we'll talk more. In fact, we'll end that conversation and I'll get off into that. Oh, yes, I wanted to say something about Ketanji Brown Jackson and what's happening with her. So, brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Spirit in the Dark, Herbie Mann and Greg Allman. Man, it's a bad cut, Herbie Mann, Greg Allman, Spirit in the Dark. Other program we have here on Time for an Awakening Media on Mondays, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawil Kamban and Itaki Kamban from 8 to 9. Followed by, from 9 to 10, Conversation Reparations for Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of Encobra. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. On Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report from 8 to 9. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m., it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And then on Saturdays, from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Council of Elders. The Sankofa Council of Elders. And then on Sunday at 7 p.m., once again, Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard at 7 p.m. on Sundays. Yeah. Okay, we're going to switch gears, as that saying goes. And you know, when Ketanji Brown Jackson was being grilled, and everybody was got all up in arms about what some of the people, particularly the Republicans, you know, definitely were jabbing at her and shooting at her and lobbing and hitting her with. You know, I'm quite sure confirmation hearings, you know, are meant to be tough, but not to be disrespectful. And then when you look at the Supreme Court, which have been all Caucasian men up until the time that Sandra Day O'Connor was nominated by Reagan, and she was on the council. Well, of course, the first person was Johnson. Putting Thurgood Marshall on the Supreme Court, you know. But it was a different atmosphere then. I'm quite sure a lot of bipartisanship was happening back at that time, even for Thurgood Marshall and the work that he had done and so forth and the things that Sandra Day O'Connor did. But when you started to move further and further, you know, because I know there was a contention for the confirmation of Clarence Thomas because of Anita Hill and what Clarence Thomas did. The same thing as Kavanaugh. There were some improprieties, but it probably true, more than likely true, but did not think that that would prevent them from being confirmed by the Senate, particularly since the Senate is predominantly Caucasian men. And for many, many years, Caucasian men were nominated to the Supreme Court, and these Caucasian men were all confirmed, and some had degrees, some had no degrees, some had no experience of being a judge, even really. It was something that they felt that their temperament, whatever the hell they felt, you know. But one thing is for sure, the Supreme Court then and the Supreme Court today is the legal arm of European, Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege, better known as white supremacy. It is that system that they uphold. Bottom line, there can be some dissent, as it should be, but those voices will be crushed, because now with the conservative court, six to three, this court is locked up conservatively for the next 15, 20 years. I'll be gone. Well, maybe not. Maybe I can hang on. Shit, right. You know, but no, the Supreme Court is locked up. And so, you know, she's replacing another liberal on the court. And now there's three women liberals and one woman who's not. So out of the nine justices, four are women. And of the nine justices, the three that are liberal You know, they're going to have a tough road to hoe. But there's something that Ketanji Jackson did that I'd heard about. And I wondered about. I saw a blip, but no detail. And our good brother, Research West, came through. Research West sent me this particular piece. Courthouse News Service, dated the 30th of March. That's today, Wednesday the 30th. Well, I picked it up the other day, so maybe they're always updating the date. Judge rejects Lockheed Martin race-based settlement. Judge rejects Lockheed Martin race-based settlement. In a scathing rebuke of a proposed class of American African Lockheed Martin workers, a federal judge on Friday shot down a $22.8 million proposal, a settlement, and refused to certify class action claims of racial discrimination, citing U.S. Supreme Court precedents in the 2011 case Walmart Stores Incorporated versus Dukes. U.S. District Judge Ketanji Jackson Brown Jackson found that the two Lockheed employees failed to show that a general policy of discrimination existed in the company's performance review system. Plaintiffs Vernon Ross and Deborah Josie had claimed that in 2016, that Lockheed's review process resulted in disparate outcomes of American African employees, including lower pay, low retention rates, and fewer promotions. But Jackson found their argument unpersuasive, particularly as they related to a proposed class of 5,500 American African employees of Lockheed, a leader in the aerospace, defense, security, and technologies industry. As was the case in Walmart, plaintiffs had not identified any affirmative policy that had demonstrably discriminatory intent or effort on American African Lockheed employees, the 52-page ruling states. The specific cases of Ross and Josie among the thousands of proposed class action members failed to persuade Jackson of pervasive commonalities. Notably, even the anecdotal allegations of the two named plaintiffs fell short of giving rise to any belief that a common mode of discriminatory decision-making resulted in consistent race discrimination against the entire class, the judge wrote. Jackson, however, saved her harshest criticism for the proposed settlement, raising doubts about its fairness. The parties negotiated the settlement during 11 days. The parties negotiated this settlement during an 11-day stretch in person and over the phone. Lockheed had agreed to pay $22 million to class members who opt into the settlement, which claims an administrator would distribute it based on criteria to be determined later after gathering information from class members. The agreement would have prevented proposed class members from bringing any other race discrimination claims beyond those stemming from the defense grant giant's performance review system. So they agreed to pay the $22 million to brothers and sisters in who are employees of Lockheed Martin, the big defense contractor. The agreement would have prevented, if you went into the proposal, then now you cannot talk about discrimination or any other thing beyond that point ever again. So we're going to pay you off the $22 million. Ketanji Brown Jackson said it makes sense for Lockheed to have agreed to the settlement that in one fell swoop, the foreclosed. Okay, I'm going to get you brothers and sisters in a minute. Jackson said it makes sense for Lockheed to have agreed to the settlement that in one fell swoop foreclosed the other race discrimination claims, but she ripped the plaintiff's counsel for agreeing to those terms. It is shocking to this court that counsel for the punitive class members would contend that a release that bond and consequential is a fair bargain as it relates to the abstained individuals whose potential legal claims are effectively extinguished by it. That is true. they agree to it, then anything that happens after that particular point, ever anything that is said or done, you can't deal with it. Jackson expressed additional concern about the proposed settlement's opt-out procedure, which would make those who don't respond to the class action suit ineligible to receive compensation from any settlement fund. This is exactly the sort of circumstance that raises legitimate questions about the fairness of a settlement agreement, the ruling states. According to the ruling, thousands of Lockheed employees are expected not to respond, which Jackson found unpalatable. The settlement agreement effectively allows Lockheed to inoculate itself against any and all race discrimination and race-related benefits claims by a huge swath of its American African employees for a price that hardly seems adequate, the ruling states. Jackson also criticized Ross and Josie for failing to fully evaluate the claims that class members would relinquish, which she said suggested they were not acting to protect and advance the rights of the class. They were trying to get some money for themselves, so of course this is America. Jackson also criticized for failing to fully evaluate the claims the class action would relinquish, which said such suggestions they were not acting to protect and advance the rights of the class. Plaintiffs have opted to bind their fellow class members indiscriminately and rely on claims administrators to do the heavy lifting of sorting out all out on the back end. The plaintiff's attorney, Charles Frett, with Minneapolis-based Engelmeyer and Uma, responded to the ruling in an email. There are many outstanding aspects of this settlement, and we are particularly proud of the programmatic relief. We intend to carefully review the court's concerns and address them as soon as possible. A spokesman for Lockheed Martin said in an email that the company is aware of the ruling. We continue to be fully committed to diversity, inclusion in our workplace, and are considering the next steps, the statement read. She should have just, instead of letting Lockheed Martin, well, all the billions and billions of dollars that this damn company has gotten from defense contracts from this government and our tax money, allow that settlement to take place. I understand what Lockheed Martin was saying and doing, that once the settlement is reached, then I can do whatever the hell I want to. I can discriminate all. And now, only the individual who has been discriminated, there is no more class action. They're not going to talk about the desperate impact that settlement has on all of the people who work at Lockheed Martin to be denied promotions, fair assignments, and so forth. So I don't agree. She should let it happen. 334-334, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Brother Oshie. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, brother.
I'm a bit under the weather today. I'm just listening, but
okay.
I didn't know about the federal judge Clemon writing a brief kind of not supporting her at all. I did not even hear that until a couple of weeks ago, actually.
Is that right? And, okay.
And now I'm hearing it, you know, the article that you read.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The article that you read. So it was just interesting. I didn't know that she had done that kind of work at all.
Yeah, yeah. So that kind of surprised me. I didn't know until Brother Research West sent me this here particular piece that I have more detail. I had just heard about it. I said there was a settlement by Lockheed Martin with the employees, because we know how big corporations have treated us. We know. And, you know, but apparently maybe she was looking after the best interests of us in this situation. I don't know. You know, I don't know. Or was she looking after the best interests of another corporate entity? You know, considering, you know, her marriage to this Caucasian, considering her mind and attitude and how she presented herself, you know, she loves this country, you know. So,
yeah.
And it's laws and it's rules.
She has a backing from the police union.
Yeah. See, so she's
is that true?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Oh yeah, because her brother and her uncle or something like that were police officers. So, you know, they were in law enforcement. So, yo, no doubt she has the backing of the major police unions. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you know.
It's just interesting. And also to find that Clarence Thomas's wife was involved in a little side work pertaining to January 6th. So it's just interesting how we're putting people in positions now. I kind of wonder, how is it really going to work out for us? You know, to put a black woman into that position, it's going to be an interesting.
Brother
I'm
Love,
sure they're going to confirm her.
Oh, yeah, she's going to get confirmed. The only way she will not get confirmed is that Manchin and what's her name? Sinema, Kristen Sinema of Arizona.
Yeah.
That they'd say, no, we're not going to confirm. Because all the Democrats are going to confirm her. So it'll be 50-50 once again.
Yeah.
And what's her name? We'll break the tying vote. You know, Kamala Harris will break the tying vote and put her which, of course, everybody wants that to happen anyway. So American African Vice President of the United States helped put the first American African woman on the Supreme Court. So all the symbolism without substance, my brother. That's how I look at it. You know,
yes,
shit.
Sir.
All the symbolism without substance. So, all right, dear brother.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, thank you for picking my call. And,
always,
and I'll
brother
be listening to the program. And I'll just, whatever it is, I'll tell you, it's just tearing me up. But it doesn't stop me from listening and processing.
Right on. I appreciate that. Well,
thank you.
You know, this is a bad, I don't know about Alabama, but I know here in Georgia, man, this pollen is something else, man. A lot of people are sick.
Yeah, it's like that here, too.
Is it?
It's
okay.
Like that here, too.
All right, my brother. Get well. Stay safe. All right.
Peace and blessings.
Peace, brother.
All right. And thing,
I'm sorry. Go ahead. Hello? Brother Lusk?
Yeah, go ahead. Well, Baba Baruti's book is on sale now, yeah?
Yes. Yeah, go to Akaben House. Yeah, go to Akaben House.
All right.
All right, dear brother.
Very good.
Peace.
Thank you.
646, good afternoon.
Hey, OC, in regards to this lawsuit with Lockheed Martin, from my perspective, she did the right thing.
Okay.
By rejecting that lawsuit.
Okay.
For the simple fact that the lawsuit basically was saying, you take this money and nobody else.
Right. Right.
That no other black employee
separate
from this group that sued and was part of the group could sue. So that means if I was employed by them 2 years later and I suffered from the form of discrimination that it seems like they were dissing out, I couldn't sue them.
No, you could.
And,
No.
Hold on.
You couldn't join in on a class action. You could sue them.
No, you couldn't sue them.
No.
That was where she made the issue.
No, you could
sue. They had worded it where nobody could sue from that point on for discrimination or anything of that nature. That was why she rejected it.
No.
That was the reason.
Hold on, Jay. Let me finish. You could sue. But you have to have all the evidence. You have to have the corroboration, and it's only you. So no. So it says, I agree with you to the extent that the class action, but the individual. So you mean to tell me then, if that's the case, that Lockheed Martin, I'm gonna pay y'all off, and now I'm gonna call y'all every damn word in the book? No.
Yeah, that was why she didn't. That's why she basically didn't accept it.
Right.
It was whoever wrote that article didn't articulate that part of it, because I didn't catch it until I had read another article that stated that was the real reason why she rejected it, because in the wording of the settlement, and you fine tune the wording of the settlement, they tried to sneak that in where nobody could sue them. Nobody of color could sue them for discrimination from that point on.
No, that's
that was where
See,
that's why it became contentious.
What's no
between them?
No, what it meant is that you can no longer have a class action suit. You can always individually. Jay, please. You can always sue somebody who have wronged you, particularly in a work environment, individually. If you have all your corroborating evidence, you got witnesses and so forth, then you can sue. See, so it wasn't like, no, you can't sue Lockheed Martin, but you cannot class action suit Lockheed Martin. So any patterns, hold on, Jay. Any patterns of discrimination cannot be sued. So now I can deny you, I can deny these other folks promotions and so forth. Y'all can't sue. That's what it meant. Okay.
But do you know how hard it is for individual lawsuit against a corporation?
Very hard.
Like Lockheed Martin, mm-hmm. then a collective class action suit. Class action suit is usually a whole different dynamic than just an individual suit. And that's what the issue was. Because remember, Lockheed Martin suit didn't get to the level that it got to until a whole group of employees came together. You know what I mean? Now, one person was the initial folly, and then others came on. It's just, I'll give you a perfect example of it. It's what the guy Flores is doing against the NFL. Other people will pop onto it as time goes on, and then it makes their case stronger because it's always better to have two, three, four than to have one.
Sure.
So that's what the whole thing was. They was making it to where, as okay, you settle this class action lawsuit, and then there could never be another class action lawsuit against us. That's crazy. Then,
right?
So they could always get rid of the single individual, but collectively it would be hard. Now, as far as her politics go, and whatever, I always look at it this way: her politics ain't gonna be from African people because she's white.
No.
So,
and plus that too, the Supreme Court.
Anything from her.
Right. I expect nothing. You know, maybe down the road she may render an opinion or be on that particular opinion that says something or whatever that may make us, especially for us Negroes, feel real happy with. She wrote an opinion.
Yeah,
she sided with this. But the court itself is very conservative. The ideology of the court and the prevailing winds of the court is very conservative, and so really her opinion don't mean a damn thing.
They protected. It's just like, I never understand how people don't get when people like Shinnessy and Manchin and other Democrats do certain things. You know, why don't you just submit and realize that they just protected whiteness? You know what I mean? It's just like this whole thing with the civil rights bill and all of that. White folks ain't gonna place themselves in a position to where their ability of power is diminished. That's why, you know, white folks, like I've said many a times, they plan 50 and 100 years ahead. So they know 50 years ago when they made this, you know, civil rights bill into law or whatever. And they made it to where it had periodic reviews
But Jay,
black folks don't realize
that's the I'm gonna get like Ralph, man. That's the bullshit. There should not be any, as Malcolm said, it doesn't take anything to get your rights. It shouldn't take anything to get my rights. It shouldn't have
that
to make any of your provisions.
Bullshit.
That is the bullshit, Jay.
No, it's not.
That's Jay, hold on.
Thing a white man can
Joe,
do.
Hold on, Jay. Hold on.
I can't get mad at a white man because of white.
Hold on, Jay. That is because reason why it's the bullshit, brother, is because they profess one thing and they do another. Yes, I understand what you always say. They always must protect and look after their interests. I understand that. But don't be saying that we're all for all and all this other shit and then this is what you do. See? No, I understand that. But the bottom line is they're going to look after their interests. They always have and they always will. And yet we think that there's going to be some fairness, that somehow that we can appeal to them, their moral nature to act righteously and fair. It ain't in them, and they ain't going to do it. And it doesn't make any difference. That's why, to me, every other year they got to consistently talk about a new voting rights. In fact, finally, after 200 times that this anti-lynching law was finally signed in, the Emmett Till anti-lynching law, and a good case for it was the Ahmaud Arbery situation here in Georgia, where those three Caucasians killed that brother. And there have been many cases like that. So, you know, and can you, you know, for all those many years, all those Dixiecrats, all those other Republicans who said, no, I'm not going to vote for anti-lynching law that says that if I lynch you or if I kill you and it's racially motivated, then I could get the chair or I could be hung or I could be in prison for life. I'm not going to sign that because me as a Caucasian society, which loves to vamp on y'all and kill y'all ass, and a lot of times get away with it. We want that to continue. So, no, Jay.
But that's not bullshit, though. That's not bullshit. How is that bullshit if you dealing in the reality is that I'm not going to give you any power. I'm going to string you along. I'm going to manipulate you. And I'm going to do all the things necessary to retain and keep my power.
Okay.
Now, the thing about the Arbery situation was the dumbasses that killed him
right.
couldn't
right.
do the key thing, keep their effing mouth shut.
Right.
They had to try and prove something.
Hold up, Jay. What was the real thing that exposed they asked? The video.
The damn video.
If it wasn't for the video.
The rowdy dude.
He's the one who took it and presented it. And the reason why he put it out there, thinking that, okay, well, I just wasn't involved in killing him, even though I kind of helped corral his ass, you know, that he would get off. You know?
But it was the video. Shouldn't he have been intelligent enough, which most white men ain't, to just delete that shit, keep his mouth shut, and go on about his goddamn business?
Yes.
And he wouldn't be sitting up in the jail now worrying about getting shot.
Of course. It's just like all the others. Hold on. It's just like Rodney King. If it wasn't for that Caucasian who was on the other side of the expressway when they were giving Rodney King a beat down, which was the first time stuff had been videoed because he had a camcorder because there weren't no cell phone videos at that time. This is 1990.
Nope.
1991, 92, whatever. You know, then all the other ones, the one where the police officer shot the brother in the back, Scott shot him in the back and then later dropped a knife or something on him, which is also so video.
Ain't Scott getting out of jail soon?
Video. Oh, I don't think so. Video.
Did he get a lot of time?
Yeah. The police officer. Yeah, he did. 20 something years, I believe it was.
Okay. I didn't.
Video has helped.
They don't get too much time.
Right. Video has helped. That situation now has relates to us because if it wasn't for that, just as in all in the past, that situation would have been their word against our word. Because you see, in that situation here in Georgia, the district attorney was, okay, that's what happened. That's what y'all say happened. That's what happened.
Let's move on. To jail.
I hope so. I wish so. I hope so.
The video's a hell of a thing, man.
Yeah. Because it doesn't lie. It's right there. It ain't my word against yours. It's what you see. Now, you know, you can ask the question, who are you going to believe, me or your lying eyes? You know?
Well, the white man going to believe his lying eyes 90% of the time unless he's forced to in regards to the other 10. But the reality is this. See, this is why I don't really get too upset with the white man. I get more upset with us. Because we don't see the games that's being played on us.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like this whole thing, whenever something goes down and a Democrat decides that he's not going to go along with the ball game, we never say, well, why is he not going along with the ball game? You know, he's not going along with the ball game, and let's be honest about it, because he want to protect whiteness. And you can't get but so bent out of shape when he decides to act and behave like that. Because in all truthfulness, he's protecting
his interest. Right, his own self-interest.
The bottom line is, if you got a country filled up minorities
in a power position, who you think gonna get screwed? The white man not gonna get screwed because he always gonna do like he did in South Africa, have control of the gun.
Okay.
It's black people who get screwed.
Okay,
it's
so
just
now,
like I got a guy on Facebook that me and them always going back and forth about Latinos and black. It's like I always tell them, if Latinos ever get in a position of governance and power over black people, they're gonna F all over us.
Of course.
That's just the reality.
Yeah.
You know
and there, because
I mean?
That's why there was no coalition.
Their allegiance is to white people.
Yeah, but see, let me say this, Jay. Let me say this. You know, the bottom line reason why is fuckery is because they present themselves as being righteous, as being honest, as being true, and being fair, and all this other bull. While all the
ooh,
while,
the white man?
Yes. Yes, yes. That's see, he that has tricked power. Us consistently, and we believe it. The same with this court yeah. situation. We believe that putting this woman on the Supreme Court would somehow that she can use her abilities to enact fairness and yeah, do some persuading and moral judgments and stuff like that.
Yeah,
you know, that's what we keep hoping and praying for and yep. and wishing and marching and all this old kind of BS.
You hit it on the head.
You know? And it never happens. Yeah. It hasn't happened.
Yeah, never.
It ain't happening. It ain't going to happen.
And I wouldn't want to, I'll be honest with you, O. I wouldn't want to spend the rest of my life trying to persuade a cracker not to be a cracker.
Yeah.
That ain't even worth the time of day to do that. You know what I mean? I mean, I would just like to hear her defend to her Caucasian husband that his brother ain't shit. That's the type of thing I would like her to try to convince that cracker that uh-huh. his people ain't shit.
Yeah.
And right there. You know what I mean? It's like, no. Come on, you dead witch. You know what I mean? It's like telling Master, could you be good? Could you be kind to the other nigga? I was watching the movie the other day for a hot minute, flipping it. Channels, man, and I ran across 12 years
a slave
of a slave, yeah. Man. Mm-hmm. There's just certain parts in that movie that is deep. Oh man, there's certain parts in that movie that is deep, and it shows the white man for who and what he is, and the white woman for who and what she is. Oh man, every now and then you just gotta watch that movie.
Yeah.
To get a real kind
well,
of sense
well, also too,
of what that devil is.
Also, too, that, you know, also it's the Caucasian is the demon and the savior. It's just like when I came to that reality watching this movie, The Omen. And
right.
I think it's the part where he grows up, you know, the part when he's older as the demon. And what it brought to me is that, man, the Caucasian is both our savior, you know, and the demon and the devil. He is all, you know, because in that movie, he is the demon that does all this evil stuff, but he also presents himself as the angel that helps fix things and so forth. And that's how the European is. That's how the Caucasian is. That's why I'm saying what they have done to us is use that kind of technology to us believing in these laws, us believing in their system, that somehow we can enact laws that will give us the freedoms that we have been so praying for and marching for and so forth, that we can have these kind of latitudes that we won't be discriminated against.
And he's never going to give it to us.
No, of course not, because it's not designed for that.
They give you the perception that they will. It's mm-hmm. just like, I remember the time I was sitting down. It was me, my old lady, and her sister, who's one of these stark, raving, mad Christians. This was like 13 years ago. And she said to me, why you don't believe in Christianity? And I had one too many drinks. I wasn't really drinking back then, but, you know, I have a couple of beers at that time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to her, why do you believe in a religion
mm-hmm.
to where as your oppressor, your rapist, mm-hmm. your murderer, mm-hmm. your kidnapper,
right,
your abuser, give you this religion to
right.
justify his treatment of you? Why do you believe in that? Mm-hmm. And you know she could never answer the question. And me and her, when we see each other, we don't even speak to each other no more. She won't even talk. She won't even talk to me. She told her sister, I'm effing Satan.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know what I mean?
Yeah, well, you know,
so if I'm there and she there,
yeah.
she go in the other room. And it's been 13 years. In yeah. 13 years, I think the only thing that woman has ever said to me was hello and goodbye.
Yeah. Well, then so be it. But because the bottom line is this, you know, they have a narrative of faith.
Yeah.
I just seen a thing on Facebook. It's pretty much the same thing what we're saying here right now before we close. They have a narrative of faith. And as you and I and most people of us, of our ilk, we try to have a narrative of fact based on scholarly research by our scholars, our historians. What they're saying cannot be proven historically. What they're saying, the Exodus, the walking on water, all of this shit cannot be proven historically. And so, therefore, you are committed to having faith and then challenging anybody that doesn't agree with your faith in the religion. You know, and as I told this one Negro some time ago, I said, I understand where you're coming from because to you, you rather believe and it not be true than to not believe and it be true because you're going to yeah. burn in hell.
Yeah, because you can't handle the truth.
Right.
You can't handle the truth like Jack Nicholson.
That's right.
Said,
there you go, brother.
I think it was Tom Cruise. Whatever.
Yep.
Because the reality is that's a hell of a pill to swallow
mm-hmm.
to have to deal with the fact that your belief system is based on brutality.
Yeah.
Not based on love. Not based on anything other than brutality and getting you to accept the brutality of the actions of your oppressor.
Well, I'm going to tell you.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it is. Because to me, anything that the European has tried to give us, I reject. And I show in hell would reject a theology that they would give us after all the brutalization, all the dehumanization, all the degradation, all the shit that they've put us through. I could never accept a theology, a belief system that they present to us. Never in my right
That's
mind.
God, Danny,
anybody else. No, in my right now. Jay, you have a blessed day, my brother. You enjoy
hey,
this
brother,
day.
Hey, brother, you have a better day.
All right, Jay. You take care, man. Peace to you. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants. Think they can't do it out, and they sure in the hell don't want to pay for it. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bibi Fahadie. Bibi Fahadie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. You have a great day, and hope to see you on Friday. Peace, family.